You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground, the place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Hello, everybody. Good day. This is my second episode of the Common Ground. Today, we will have a pretty good show. I got some really good topics that we're actually going to be talking about today. But before I even get into my topics, this is what I want to say. A few weeks ago, there was a young rapper. I guess his name was Lil Ronnie. Him and his young five-year-old daughter got murdered he was watching his car, and they just got gunned down. I just want to say rest in peace to those to them. Also, it's just sad to me that, you know, some people have to lose their life over nonsense. And I'm so glad that I think that they catch the suspects that did it. And I'm praying, I'm hoping the community, when these people go to court, they should be in the courtroom every day, the whole community. You know what I mean? We need to detest all gun violence. There's no place in our community for gun violence. None at all. So we need to detest that. We need to get with the Congress, whatever we need to do to try to figure out a way how we can help the young people, the youth. Okay? So, back to my topic now. So today's topic will be, okay, so I'll be discussing, of course, United We Stand, defending black women, challenging MAGA, and protecting our youth. Protecting our youth. Very important. So, the other day, about last week sometimes, I was listening to this YouTube guy from, I guess his, the name of the YouTube channel is called The Defiant Lawyer, right? And the person that was the host of that YouTube, his name is Augustus Corbett. Augustus Corbett. So I listened to him a lot. So he has an episode on there called I Stand With Black Women. Okay, so before I even get started, right, with that, let me read something real quick. I'll talk about something real quick, right? So in February of 2020, Snoop Dogg publicly criticized Gayle King and called her derogatory names following her interview questions about Kobe Bryant, past sexual assault allegations. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. Snoop later issued an apology to Gayle King, expressing regret for his choice of words and acknowledging that his reaction was disrespectful and inappropriate. The incident sparked broader conversations about public discourse, respect towards black women, and accountability. Okay, so Mr. Corbett, Augustus Corbett. So, like I said earlier, this segment that I'm talking about is basically what he's saying. I'm just re-saying what he actually has said. Okay, so increased attack on black women. Black women consistently face racism, sexism, and classism. Escalation of online abuse, verbal harassment, and real-world threats. High-profile targets include Michelle Obama, Kamala Harris, and Jasmine Crockett. So let's talk about Michelle Obama for a second, okay? So Michelle Obama, when she was the first lady, she faced a lot of racist insults, degrading comparison to animals, and criticism even for promoting a healthy lifestyle. So I remember when Michelle Obama, when she was the first lady, and so many people attacked this woman for being who she is. And to me, it was very disrespectful how they treated this first lady. I'm talking about the media, some of the right-wing media, how they treated her, how they talked about her. And sometimes how I feel sometimes like when these black women come under attack, people who, I should say, who had the voice, who had the platform, a lot of times don't come to these black women aid. And I do believe that's one thing that we need to start doing whenever anybody attack our black women. It doesn't matter if you like the policies or not. It doesn't matter. Whenever, anytime somebody attack all black women, we need to come together and stick together at a unit, at one unit, whether you like them or not. Because how much did that used to really upset me that, you know, the media would attack this first lady, attack her through the media, call her all kind of names, this elegant young lady, intelligent young lady, intelligent. And the way they treated her and the way they disrespected her in the media. And a lot of times, like I said, a lot of us, we don't come to these women of our defense. Doesn't matter your political affiliation. When anybody attack our black women, we need to come to their defense, point blank, point blank. Because I guarantee any other group of people out there, if people attack them like that, I guarantee people will come to their defense. I'm going to give another example. Although she's not black, she's Latino, AOC. I mean, one time, there was some congressperson said some kind of racist remark about this young lady. Racist remarks about her. And I don't see our community come to her in defense like they should. Like they should. No one should not attack our women, you know, unless we nothing. We need to come to these people's defense, whether we know them or not. Okay, so another person, Kamala Harris. So, Mrs. Harris. So constant mockery from conservative media, questioning of racial identity, and racist remarks from Trump supporters. Right. So let me give an example. I remember Janet Jackson. I love me some Janet Jackson. Janet Jackson. I love Janet. Trust me. Even to this day, I jam to Janet Jackson music. My favorite album that Janet Jackson ever did, of course, the Rhythm Nation album. I love her. But when the interviewer was asking her a question and she fed into that narrative about, oh, is she black? As a black woman, and you're saying that about another black person. To me, it's not right. It's not right at all. Freaking Candace Owens, another one, came up with some kind of nonsense death certificate of her grandmother or some kind of grandparent talking bad about this woman or her racial identity, feeding into the narrative. It's like these educated black women, these educated black women who have been through a lot, who have done a lot throughout their lives, and this is the disrespect that they get. But yet the other group of people don't get the same disrespect. Another person right now is Jasmine Crockett, Congresswoman Crockett, out of Texas. She's another one that get a lot of disrespect. And I feel though that people do not come to their aid, right? If you're black, it doesn't matter if you're Republican, if you're a Democrat. If you're black and people attacking our black sisters, we as black people need to come to the daggone defense, point blank. Especially you, one who had a voice and have the daggone platform. When these people are getting disrespected, a lot of times, yeah, you can't really stop people online. I get it, because there are a lot of millions of people online. But when these people who, like some of these politicians out there, that's talking a lot of crap about these black women, we need to come to the daggone defense, point blank. It's another real thing, like when you argue about their policies, okay? That's totally different. If you don't like their policy, I get it. I understand. Okay? But we need to come to these people's defense whenever anybody has attacked these people. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you an example, right? When I was in the Army, I was full service in the military. And trust me, there's few people that I didn't like that I used to work with, right? But I guarantee if somebody that's a non-food service person come and talk trash about this food service person, I'm going to have this person back, whether I like this person or not. Because that person is still one of us. The person still a daggone cook. That's how I feel. You know what I mean? If somebody that don't look like you talking mess about our black women, you know, we need to come to their defense, point blank. You know what I mean? It don't have to be that you're a racist or whatever. I'm not a racist guy. I do not have a racist bone in my body. I love everybody. As long as they're good people. As long as they're good people and they treat people with respect. I treat them just the same. You know what I mean? It's about the respect of others. And we should not allow that to happen at all. So the internal division, right, within the black community. So some black men and women contribute to these attacks against these black women, right? Because a lot of times when I scroll through the internet, like maybe TikTok, Instagram, I'm seeing these black people, especially when Kamala Harris was running for president. I see these black people talking nonsense about Kamala Harris. I see black people talking nonsense about Jasmine Crockett. And you know, and the bad thing about the whole situation, it's never once about their policies. Never once about, oh, I don't like her policy. I don't like this. I don't like that. You know what I mean? Never once they're going to break it down and say, look, okay, the policy is jacked up. I don't like that. It's always something. Like certain people said, Jasmine Crockett act a certain way. How she act a certain way? Tell me, right? How does she act a certain way? But yet, other people could act a certain way and nobody said nothing to that. Tell me, black people, and I'm talking specifically to you, black people out there. We need to come together and stand up for our black women. All right, okay, so, you know, Augusta Corbett also went on, talked about, the influence of the red pill, right? The ideology and MAGA movement fosters hostility towards black women. So the red pill, if you have seen the movie The Matrix, you know what I mean? The red pill, basically, you are a woke, and the blue pill is, well, you can look it up, okay? So he also discussed, right, the myth, dispelling the harmful myth when it comes to black women, right? So the myth. So one myth is black women are significantly more successful than black men. It's not true, right? So a reality is black women continue to face severe economic inequality, health disparities, and educational bias. So no matter how educated the black woman is, it's still hard for her to get ahead. It seems like that black woman has to work twice as hard just to get ahead in the daggone job market, in the corporate world, in the job market. So sometimes, right, in most cases, so black women earn only 64 cents for every dollar white men earn. Think about that. A black woman, 9 times out of 10, she's probably going to be more talented than the white man. But yet, she may only make 64 cents on the dollar. Do you think that's fair? So, higher maternal mortality rates and frequently ignored by healthcare professionals, right? I mean, one time I was watching Abby Phillips, she worked for CNN. And she had a show one time talking about how black women have higher mortality rates, especially during our pregnancy, and how black women die quicker giving childbirth than any other race. And that's a real serious problem right there. So so disproportionately suspended, arrested at school, and discouraged from even pursuing the STEM careers, right? So as we all know, the STEM stands for what? Science, technology, engineer, and math. So there are a lot of times, especially in these black schools, a lot of times, sometimes they don't encourage that as they should, the STEM. Okay. So, you know, look, just like I said, though, that we really need to come together and defend all black women. You know, Augustus Corbett, he really hit a great point when he talked about that. He really did. Okay, so consequences, right, of supporting Trump. So Trump policies negatively impact communities by cutting jobs, dismantling diversity initiative, restricting affirmative action, and reducing healthcare access, right? So let's talk about affirmative action for a second. About a couple years ago, there was a group of these Chinese kids, and they had every right to protest and be upset. I mean, I saw on the news, and they were mad because, I guess, the affirmative action, they didn't like the affirmative action too much. And then guess what happened a year later? The Supreme Court got rid of, kicked back affirmative action. Stuff that's supposed to really help everybody. And if you look it up, mostly white folks really benefit more from affirmative action. But anything that sometimes I feel that deal with black people, these courts or whatever, want to kick stuff back when white people mostly benefit from those type of things. Okay, so policies particularly harmful to black women and children, especially those relying on Medicaid. If y'all know what's going on in today's time, how they are disbanding these programs. Think about the Department of Education. Think about like I said in my last video, about the CR bill, the continuing resolution bill, and Medicaid is on the chopping block right now because they have to get rid of $880 billion, cut $880 billion. And they can't cut that much money without dipping into Medicaid. And maybe your Social Security. Some people that's on Social Security right now. So all those things we have to think of, right? Okay, so all those things that affect a lot of black people, black women, and all that great stuff, right? So steps, so these are some of the steps that I do believe that we can use to really support our black women, right? Call out attacks, challenge disrespect toward black women immediately and publicly. Whenever anybody disrespect our black women, anybody, I don't give a damn who it is, we need to call them out publicly. If they do it publicly, we need to do that same thing publicly, point blank. Okay? Protect and uplift. Actively support and advocate for black women and girls. We need to protect our black sisters. We need to protect our black daughters, our black granddaughters. We need to protect them so they can have it better than we have it today. We need to protect them, and we need to call out any nonsense that people are doing to disrespect them, point blank. Okay, so reject white supremacy. Big deal. We need to reject that. We need to call that out. Denounce narrative designed to divide the black community. Because if y'all know what's going on, the black community is kind of divided a little bit right now. You know what I mean? Just watch the news, you see what's going on. Some people, if they're going Trump, some people for Harris or whatever. But the black community is a little bit divided right now. And we need to end gender conflict. Recognize and nurture the unity between black men and women as essential for collective empowerment, right? We need to be together collectively so we can empower each other. We have to do that so we can empower each other. That's the only way things will get better for us as a community, as a black community. It doesn't matter if you're a black American, if you're from Africa, if you're from Jamaica, it does not matter, okay? We need to come together to empower each other so we can move forward. And the thing about it, we don't have to degrade anybody else to do that, though. We don't need to do all that. We just need to empower ourselves and lift each other up for things to get better for us as a community. Okay? So now, we must stand together with Black women, our mothers, sisters, daughters, and leaders. If we don't protect them and uplift them, who will? Okay, so this is the unanswered question right here. Unanswered question. What will it take for the Black community to fully unite in defense of Black women? Huh? That's the unanswered question. What will it take for the Black community to fulfill, unite in defense of Black women? That's the one thing we need to really think about, huh? How can we defend our Black sisters, huh? Our Black daughters, our Black mothers. We need to think about those type of things, all right? So, on to the next topic. The cost of MAGA and how Trump's policies are hurting Black America. I don't think some of y'all understand what's going on. When I watch the news, especially when Donald Trump was running for president, everything that man said he's going to do, he's doing. Point blank. So when I watch the news, sometimes I really wonder though, man. In my mind, I'm wondering. When I'm watching the daily news or I'm seeing little clips online, I really wonder if that's really real. If these people did not really know. I'm really wondering that. Cause ain't no way. If you're paying attention, you do not know what's going on. There's no way at all. I don't believe that. Ain't no way. When this man on the campaign trail for past 2 years, he said he's going to do what he's going to do. But you know what, though? Sometimes y'all have selective hearing. Selective hearing. Look what's going on right now. How many people lost their damn job in the VA? Thousands of people lost their job in the VA. And that affected a lot of Black people. Yeah, a lot of Trump supporters, it did. But also a lot of Black people. And it's sad to me, all the people have to lose a job. Think about back in the day, right? You hear growing up, or we hear back in the day, oh, no, if you get like a good government job, you're set. You do your time, however many years, and you retire and you live a pretty decent life working for the government. I guarantee that's probably like a dream for a lot of people. Think about that, okay? Work for that government, and you know what I mean? And I remember there one time, I don't know if it's still like that, maybe not, because of the new administration. But if you're a GS employee, GS, you know, so I think the lowest is GS4, all the way up to GS15. If you're a GS employee, once you initially get the job, if you work there for at least minimum of 3 years, you're set. You just have to do your 3 years. And you set. I mean, for them to get rid of you, it takes a lot for you to get fired once you do your initial 3 years with the GS employee. And imagine if you're a former military and then you decide to transition over to be a GS worker. And then all you got to do for you to get your full benefit for retirement, you just buy back a little time that you spent in the military and then that rolled over. You know how great that is? But when you see this thing that's going on today, it's really, really messing things up. Okay, so Trump's significant cuts to federal jobs affecting Black workers right now. Just like I said, the federal jobs that are affecting a lot of people from the Black community that's losing their good government job. But just like I said, it's a good feeling when you get the job working for the VA. It doesn't matter if you're a GS4, if you start out as a GS4, and you go actually move your way up. It is a really great feeling. Okay, so it disproportionate also is our policies also. Disproportionate cuts to social safety nets like Medicaid and public services harming the Black families. You know, a lot of Black people right now depend on Medicaid. A lot of people. Not only Black people, white people too as well. But cutting to Medicaid affects a lot of Black folks out there. People that need to go see the doctor, You know what I mean? If they have custom Medicaid, you know, you're a young child, you know, it might be hard to get certain service. God forbid if the young child is sick and the child might need some kind of service done to that child. And things are getting cut because of that. It's sad to me. So that a lot of us depend on. And if all this goes through, the only thing is going to stop there. Because right now I'm a veteran. And as a veteran, I'm afraid that the federal government is going to cut my daggone benefits. God forbid. I'm praying it doesn't happen. I'm afraid that you know, they're going to cut my retirement from the Army. Those things is weighing in my mind. I'm afraid of that. You understand what I'm saying? So we all need to take this very serious, very, very serious. Okay, so removal of civil rights protection through conservative court appointment, right? So the removal of civil rights. You know, the Civil Rights Act and all the great stuff that Lyndon B. Johnson put in place back in the 60s. The Voting Rights Act, all the stuff. I'm telling you, if this new administration, if it's leave up to them, they're going to cut all the stuff back. All of back. Do you know who want all the stuff that's coming back? Do you know who's going to benefit the most? Those daggone 1%ers, those billionaires. Those billionaires is going to benefit the most. Why do you think, you know what I mean, we as regular people, we're paying a lot of money in taxes. A lot of money in taxes. We do. All of us. You know, as a collective whole. But those daggone billionaires out there, if they could get away with it, they would not pay no daggone taxes. If they could get away with it. Is that the America that we want to live in? That we as poor people, we suffer? America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. To me, as a foreigner, to me, this is the greatest country ever. I'm so glad that I'm in this country so I can live a pretty decent life. It's a great thing to be an American citizen. It is. But I've always said this. Right now, we're living on scary times. But only time will tell. Only time will tell. So, right, voter suppression. So if y'all know, right, the powers to be, believe it or not, they really want to suppress your vote by creating laws. Look at Texas. Look at Georgia. Just to suppress your vote. Because you know why? Because they're afraid. If we get together as a whole, as a community, black, and we have the same kind of mindset, and we stick together as black people, we could be unstoppable. I know that for a fact. We could be unstoppable. You understand me? We don't need to be violent. We don't need to be to do the violent stuff. No. For what? You know what I'm saying? If you use this, our mind, together, and we stick together, we can be unstoppable, people out there. Okay? So, you know, the voter suppression, it's a real thing. Okay? All the stuff, all those type of policies that is really affecting us as black folks. And I do believe that we need to come together so we can fight for our rights, fight for everything that we deserve in this United States of America. Okay? We need to do that. Because if we don't stop fighting for our rights, fighting for our civil rights, things is going to roll back 50, 60 years. Look what they did to Roe versus Wade. About a year ago? Look what they did to that. Whether you believe in abortion or not. You know what I mean? Who are you to tell another woman what she can do with her own body? Why does that bother you so much? That's between that person, the doctor, and their God. You understand that? Now, between them and their God. Not you, but look what they did. You know what I mean? And you think it's going to stop there? I remember one time I was watching the Dagger News one time, this one guy from the Heritage Foundation, where one of the writers from the Project 2025, he specifically stated that he wants women to vote with their husband. Whatever their husband are voting for, that woman to vote with her husband instead of have her own dagger of mine. Is that the type of America that you want to live with? Do you want to go back when women couldn't even own a land? Couldn't even own have a damn bank account? Is that what y'all want? We got to think about those type of things. Okay? So now, the unanswered question for this topic right here. Can Black America reverse the damage caused by Trump's policies in time for the next election? All right? So can Black America reverse the damage caused by Trump's policies in time for the next election? You know what I mean? Right now, I'm seeing people out there, people like Jasmine Crockett out there and Bernie Sanders out there talking to people. And and they're not only talking to going to the blue states, blue area, they're also going to the red area as well, talking to people and hoping the message is actually resonating with people. Because a lot of people see what's going on. If you're watching the news, a lot of people, Republicans, is upset. A lot of Democrats are upset in these town hall meetings right now because they don't like what's going on in the Dagenham, in Washington, D.C. They don't like what's going on. So a lot of people are very upset. And I applaud Jasmine Crockett and Bernie Sanders for doing what they are supposed to, what they are doing right now, going out and talking to people right now. Because I'm telling you, in the next election, 2026 election, is very crucial. And there are a lot of times, you know what I mean, yeah, when it comes to the national election, you know what's really better? Your local election. Voting your senators, your congresspeople. That's more important than the Dagen presidency. As we all should know by now. That's more important. Because Congress are the ones that's supposed to be making the laws, right? More important. So just think about the unanswered question, right? One more time. Can Black America reverse the damage caused by Trump's policies in the time for the next election? Huh. We're going to see about that, okay? We're going to see what's going on. All right, so on to my next topic, right? Protecting our future, addressing educational inequality for Black youth. So education inequality, right? So, as y'all well know right now, Donald Trump just signed a little order, his order to dismantle the Department of the Education, right? So, you know, the Department of Education, as we all know, they make like a basic standard rule of how each state is supposed to do, right? When it comes to educating the kids. And they give these states money, whatever, you know what I mean, to help, funding to help with the schools. So it's bad enough a lot of these poor schools aren't getting funding like they should. Imagine now that they're dismantling the DOE. Imagine now that they're doing that. I really believe it's going to be worse for a lot of these poor schools out there, especially a lot of these poor Black schools out there. Imagine you have a daggone Republican governor, and he's supposed to allocate that damn money down. Well, or whomever, allocate the damn money down. Who you think is going to really get less money now? And if you don't have one standard of actual to how to educate our kids, one standard, a lot of the kids going to be lost. A lot of the young children will be lost. But on a positive note with that, though, maybe this ban of the DOE, who knows? It might be a good thing. We're going to see, right? Because what did America do before the DOE came to be? How was that before that, right? Imagine if the states decide to, you know what, take control of making the curriculums of educating our kids, right? And I'm just thinking right now. Imagine that. And then we have a Black Democratic governor for a state. The Black Democratic governor could push for black for Black Dagon, for Black history, better, right? Reading, learning about a lot of these Black heroes that we had besides just Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks, right? Learn about other people too as well. Who knows, right? So we'll say, but we need to protect those. Figure out a way to protect our youth, our Black children, so they can have a better future. Okay, so Black students face higher suspension rates, especially for subjective reasons like attitude or disrespect. Why is it when a Black child speaks their mind? You know how, that's how a lot of times we were raised, right? The first thing that they think, oh, this kid have a dagger attitude. Huh? But sometimes a lot of these dagger teachers aren't sitting down and try to listen to some of these Black kids when things are on their mind, are upset. So what happened with that, huh? Look at Black girls, right, are disproportionately arrested and disciplined in schools. I don't know if you have seen videos before in the past. I've seen videos when a teacher called me, the security or somebody, and how they mishandled these young Black teenage girls, right? Some of these grown men treating these teenage girls like they're criminals. Instead of trying to talk to these young girls, find out what's going on in their mind. That should be an issue with everybody. That should be an issue with everybody. And it's not right. These daggone grown men acting the way they do toward these teenage girls. Okay, so sometimes there could be barriers in also STEM education, right? So Black students, particularly girls, often lack encouragement and access to opportunities in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So let's talk about the STEM program for a second. Imagine if every single school, especially in a poor neighborhood, because do you know that there's so many brilliant Black kids out there? So many smart young children out there. But guess what, though? A lot of times they don't get the opportunity like they should, like some of these rich, wealthy kids do, right? Imagine that. That these schools, these states, these the lawmakers invest in the poor schools. Imagine what could happen in one generation. Imagine that. But let me backtrack for a second about the DOE. You know, one positive thing I do believe could come out of this, though, I believe, if this is true, if your child, as long as you be able to find a way to that, right, could go to a better school. If your child could go to a better school and you could be able to provide transportation to that child instead of going to the school that, I mean, that's people fighting these schools and all that. You don't want your child to be subjugated to that type of mess. Imagine that, right? If you could really do that. But on the flip side of that, if they make that into the law or the rules, but your child's Black, with a white school, one of the Black kids there, though? That's the only thing. With the white school, they can make up all kinds of excuses why the Black child shouldn't come to your school. Who knows? I'm just saying. It could happen. Right? But back to the Dagon STEM program, too. The STEM program, you know what I mean, I do believe could really help out a lot of young people out there, a lot of young kids, a lot of these young Black kids, even the white kids as well, you know what I mean, poor kids that goes to these poor schools. You understand me? Imagine that. They invest in the youth. Because I do believe if we invest in the youth, if we invest in the young children, it could be less violence among the young kids. Back to when I just started this episode, when I talk about those two the alleged gunmen who killed the rapper and his daughter. Imagine if those two young people right there had a chance of life, of a better life, had a chance. Who knows what they could have been? Now, guess what, though? If they're because I don't think they're too soon for them to go to court, but no, they don't ruin their damn lives. Imagine that. I'm just saying, man. Imagine that. That if these young kids could get a better chance of life, imagine what they could be in the future instead of going to that and doing a life of crime to put them in trouble and going to jail. Huh? They're building more jails, but yet they're giving people less opportunities inside these neighborhoods. That's sad to me. It really is. Okay, so the same program, right? So now, good thing to do to improve the outcomes is to strategize for parents and communities to hold schools accountable to fair and equal treatment, right? We as parents, we do need to hold the schools accountable for the mistreatment of our children. And you know a good way to do it, to do that, to go to these parent-teacher meetings to demand some kind of town hall. You know, it doesn't have to be just be politicians doing town hall. Why can't it be the damn schools, the principal of these schools, excuse me, to do the damn town hall meetings, huh? Why can't it be? I'm telling you, things I really believe could get better if we as a community really get involved. You understand me? Especially like a lot of your young parents out there. Your children are the future. They are the future. And we do need to get involved. You don't think the white people, you don't think they get involved when it comes to their daggone kids? I guarantee a lot of them in those white neighborhoods, a lot of them are going to these town hall meetings or going to the meeting and say, well, hey, what's going on with my kid? I need this to be better. You understand me? Well, I think they banned books in Florida because these folks go to their meetings and talk about it. Huh? That's what we need to do too as parents, especially as black parents. We need to start doing those type of things as well. We need to get the community together, right? So imagine, for example, right? And I've been thinking about this too. Imagine, right? You live in the hood. Right? I can say the hood because I used to live in the hood my damn self back in the day. So imagine you live in the hood and you and your homies, homegirls or your homeboys, y'all sitting around. Y'all playing y'all dominoes, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I'm a dominologist. You know what I'm saying? I can play the dominoes. And y'all playing the daggone dominoes. And I say, you know what, things in my neighborhood is jacked up. We need to fix things. And then y'all get together and start writing y'all congresspeople, y'all local officials, your council people, you know what I mean? To try to get things better in the neighborhood. It can happen. You just have to do it as a collective whole. It's hard for just one voice to do it. But numerous voices together as one, y'all could really make things happen if you really want to. But you have to do it together. And I do believe that you can do it together if you choose to, with your friends, with your homegirls, with your homeboys, all the great stuff. You understand me, right? There's nothing wrong with emailing these people, telling them how you feel, right? So, now, the unanswered question, though, what actions must we take now to dismantle systematic educational barriers for black youth? So, what action can we take, though, to really dismantle what's going on now in the black community? How can we as a whole, as a collective whole, make things happen, try to make things better for our youth, our black youth? How can we make things happen? I'm telling you something. September 11th, 2023. My cousin, 16 years old, my cousin's daughter, she's my cousin, 16 years old, got murdered that because she was just trying to break up a fight. And the person that murdered her was 17 years old. 17, think about it. The person that murdered my 16-year-old cousin. And this young lady, she wanted to be a WNBA player. She was on her high school basketball team. So how can we help our youth? Jada Moore, may you rest in peace. Jada Moore, my little cousin, that's her name. They say her name, Jada Moore. May she rest in peace. Got murdered by somebody who's 16, 17 years old. So how can we do things to help our young people to keep the guns out of their hands for them to have a better future? What do we need to do? There's so many things that I do believe that we can do to help these young people. And we can do it by trying to help create programs out there to help these people, the youth. So many things that we can do. Okay? Because a lot of people do not deserve that what's going on in their lives. They don't. We just have to show them a better way. Show these young children a better way to survive, a better way to live. And we could do it, especially us as OG, because I do consider myself as an OG, okay? And yeah, I do believe it's our responsibility to teach the young children, to teach them and to educate them. Sometimes they might not listen to us, but at least we're giving them the knowledge. At least we are giving them the knowledge. And it's up to them if they want to take that knowledge or not. It's up to them. But we as old school OGs in this community, we need to talk to our young people. Okay? We need to talk to our young people and ensure that they can have a better future, even better than us. Because just like Whitney Houston said, right? Children are the future. They are. And when we do leave this earth, we want to leave it better for the next generation. So we need to do whatever we need to do so we can protect our youth. Protect our youth. Okay? Before I do go, I want to say something real quick. I want to promote my books that I wrote. Okay? So, The Black Godmother, right here. This is set in the 1980s, right? Naomi Davis. She is a ruthless drug dealer. It's so ironic, right? When I was just talking about protecting the youth. But this book actually goes in depth, though, you know what I mean? Of things, you know what I mean? It's fictional, but it shows the real rough streets of how a person could turn out if they don't have people to invest in their future. This book right here also that I wrote, Shadows After Past. This book is a sequel to this book right here, The Black Godmother. So this book is about her son. Because even The Black Godmother, she was smart enough to set her son up to have a better future. And this book is about his life. And, you know, he's a lawyer in the book. And he was a defense lawyer. And the thing that he has done to really defend people with a lot of different scandals, right? And then this book right here that I wrote, My Black Vote Does Not Matter. It's a very interesting book, right? This book right here, you can really, we get a lot of great information from this book, okay? You can really get a lot of information from this book. So if you don't mind, all these books, they are available on Amazon.com. So if you don't mind, please go ahead and get your copy of these books, because I'm telling you, these books are some page turns. Okay? And I appreciate you for y'all for joining me. So thanks for turning into Common Ground. Thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
tuned in to Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.